Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth there with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It was an educational break we just had. We finally got Porth to figure out what we're talking about and how to make mac and cheese.
Meanwhile, I'm getting blown up. Katie's like, let me paraphrase. You're an idiot to me. Okay, so this is what she does. She leaves the noodles in the strainer. Then in the pot, she puts the butter, the cheese, all that, right?
Okay.
Then she says you slow pour the noodles. She also says you suck at mac and cheese and you overboil, but that's a totally separate issue. Okay, so fine. Okay, so she doesn't use... So
you have mischaracterized what she does.
So basically the difference is that I strain the noodles and put them back in the pot, and then I put the stuff in and mix it up. She keeps them in the strainer, pours the stuff in the pot, gets it all mixed up, then puts the noodles in. There's no point.
That's exactly how I do it then.
So you do it the way she does it.
Yes.
You keep them in the strainer.
Yes.
Yeah, I just...
Following along here, poor.
What do you do? What do you do?
I mix them separately in a pot.
Right,
and
okay.
Then pour the cheese in there.
Yeah, so you have the noodles in the pot, pour the cheese on top of it.
Correct.
But do you pour the milk, the separate things on top of it and mix them with
noodles? No. Okay. Mixed all together.
So, okay, so fine. So no one does it my way. Whatever. Yes. I'm going to keep doing it my way. I don't care.
You do whatever you need to do.
After we just discovered during the break that I do it like Joe, but I don't.
Yes, we did discover that during the break, Ryan Porth.
Meanwhile, Nate on Twitter is sending a nice video.
Instructional
video.
How
to make craft. I'm gonna watch this. I'm going to watch this right now. I'll keep the sound down.
Ryan Porth, we've got some tickets to give away. Is this for Game 3 on Friday? Tickets to give away for Game 3 coming up on Friday between the Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena. And we once again have a trivia question today. If you know the answer on the trivia question, be the first one to text in to our text line. Remember, I said text in to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth, what is today's Predators trivia question?
Who invented mac and cheese? No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
I'm kidding. So the Preds are taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, as we know, in round one. Their head coach is Rod Brind'Amour. What NHL team originally drafted Brind'Amour in 1988?
What team originally drafted Rod Brind'Amour in 1988? If you know the answer to that question, hit up our text line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you could be headed to Game 3 for the Predators coming up on Friday night against the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena.
Rod Brind'Amour from?
I don't know.
Michigan State University. Thank you very much.
All right.
There you go.
Proud Spartan alum. Rod Brind'Amour. So game two tonight for the Predators against Carolina. Down 1-0 in the series. Got to find a way to get back in and even this thing up tonight. Hopefully come back split 1-1 in game three on Friday night at Bridgestone Arena. But the question is, what's the lineup going to look like tonight for the Predators heading into game two? We saw it in game one. Lots of size, lots of physicality brought to the table. Olivier in the lineup on the fourth line. Janot moves up to the third line. You've got Harper and Gudbranson on the third pair on defense. I would expect the lineup to look at least a little bit different tonight based on how game one went and based on some of the comments made by John Hines in the aftermath of game one as well. So, Joe Rexroad, let's start with you. As you're piecing together your lineup tonight for the Predators in game two, who's in? Who's out? What changes would you make from game one to game two?
Well, I'm not gonna do a total revamp on the third pairing, but I'm gonna put in Benning instead of Gudbranson. So my third pairing is Benning, Gudbranson, and I'm gonna switch up my top four. I don't think he's gonna do this, but that's what I'm doing. If I get the choice, just like I like to put the milk with the, on top of the noodles.
That's
and
right.
Then mix it up. I'm going to go Ellison Ekholm, an old, of course, pairing from long ago. They certainly have played together a ton. That's Josi Carrier. With the forwards, I am bringing Tolvanen back, and I'm going to put him on that top line. I've definitely thought about Duchesne there. But I'm going to go with Tolvanen in there, give him the best opportunity 5-on-5 to have success, have him in the lineup, and, you know, and of course have him on the power play. I'm not touching the Granlund line, but I tell you what, they better do something. I am looking closely at that line. And I think you brought it up earlier. You know, they were going against that Sebastian Aho line. Now they haven't done the SAT line yet, and they may, but they got Sveshnikov, you know, on a different line. But that Aho line was the matchup a lot for those guys, and they just have to play better. But I'm keeping that together. The fourth line, Olivier is sitting, and Jeannot is going back with that fourth line. I just think it's been very good for a long time. I think it even went up a little bit with Jeannot. Now, Olivier is tough choice to sit, but you know, there's tough choices. So then that brings you to the third line. You know, Hall is centering that line. Arvidsson is moving down to that line. And then Duchesne is on that line. So essentially, you know, Tolvanen is in for Olivier is the way I'm doing it. And I'm not changing anything else up, although I mean, I think you can think about, even with Arvidsson, with Duchesne, with Arvidsson, with Tolvanen, I think you could think about any of those three guys and say, do you need more? Do you need a Richardson? Will that help you out? Do you need a Grimaldi? Will that help you out? I mean, I think there's some really interesting discussions to have, but that would be my lineup.
I like it. So Joe Rexroad making some changes to his lineup heading into game two. I've got a couple of changes that I would make as well. And I don't think the first one is much of a surprise. Both Ben Harper and Eric Goodbranson coming out of the lineup for me. I know you're in a bit of a difficult spot with Harper because he's on the left and can play on the left. But I'm kind of rearranging my defense heading into this game. Look, there have been times this year where Benning has been with Josi. I've liked it. I think they've played well together. I think Josi elevates whoever he's with for the most part. I'm putting Benning back in there, and I'm putting him with Roman Josi. I'm leaving Ekholm and Carrier together, and I am moving Ellis down in the lineup. That way you've got three defensive pairs spread out a little bit. You can even up the ice time a little bit more. If you get into a situation where you're protecting a lead, you can switch it if you want to, and you can put Ellis back together with Josi if you have to. You could put Ellis with Ekholm and move Carrier around if you have to. But I'm starting my defense pairs. I've got Josi playing with Matt Benning. I've got Ekholm remaining with Carrier, and I've got Ellis down, I guess, what would be the third defense pair alongside, and I'm moving. I would keep Harper in there because he plays the left. But I would think about putting Fabbro in. I just don't know if Fabbro can play the left. If you feel like he could, I wouldn't mind seeing him in there. So I think that's your sixth best defensive.
So you're balancing it out without a clear third pairing, although yep. I think that would be
the third pair. But
would probably get the least ice time would be Ellis Harper.
Well, and I think it's easier to do something like that on the road when you're not in control of the matchups. Like, you just don't feel like you're getting exposed.
You're a little bit more
out there.
You're a little bit more last change proof.
You're a little bit more last change proof if you do that. I don't think that'll be the route John Hines will go. But John Hines not making the decisions in this segment. I am. So that's the route I'm going on defense. I'm bringing Tolvanen back into the lineup tonight. I'm putting him on the top line with Johansson and Forsberg. You got to find a way to get him going 5-on-5. The power play is one thing, and that's part of the reason I'm bringing him back in. But 5-on-5, he can be a difference maker too. You've got to find a way to get him going. Hopefully, this has been a bit of a message to him in the way that he needs to play, and I'm relying on that, putting him back on the top line tonight. I'm taking Arvidsson. I'm keeping him in. I'm moving him down to the third line with Halla and Duchesne and seeing if that can get Duchesne going offensively a little bit. But those are the only changes I'm making to the forward group at that point. And then you can reevaluate after game two if need be. But the major shakeup in my lineup comes with the D pairs heading into this game.
I like it. I hadn't even considered that, but I like it. You're probably right that he won't do that, but it really makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
Nice job. Hey, by the way, let me give you guys a real quick defense of how I do macaroni.
Okay.
So the reason that I do it on top of the noodles is because then the noodles that are hot have been boiled and they melt the butter. So if you do it the way Katie does it, and apparently all of you put the milk, the butter, and the cheese sauce, there's nothing that melts them. Like, it's not hot, right?
You keep it on the stove.
Yeah, but it's hotter if the noodles, like, they're going through the noodles. I think it melts it better.
I can see that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to switch it up a little bit.
That's why I will not
change. Maybe I'll try your way. See what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple times where I rushed it and I gave it to the kids and there were some clumps in there, and I feel bad about that, okay? Yes. But if you do it right, my way is better.
Katie does it right.
You don't even know who's doing what. Come on.
He doesn't even know which way is up right now in this conversation.
Send you to the porthole.
Ryan Port, do we have a winner on the text line for the pair of tickets for Game 3 for the Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes coming up on Friday?
Yes, we do. Jacob on the text line was the one who correctly identified the St. Louis Blues as the team that originally drafted Brind'Amour back in 1988. Well, I should say he was the first one. Many people have correctly identified the Blues. A lot of guesses for the Flyers and the Whalers and other teams, but Jacob is the winner.
Jacob is the winner. Congratulations, Jacob. You will be in the building on Friday for Game 3 for the Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. Brind'Amour drafted 9th overall by the St. Louis Blues in the 1988 draft. When we come back, we'll get Ryan Port's thoughts on the lineup. Who should be in? Who should be out tonight in Game 2 for the Predators? Get your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Hey, Smashville, the game Nashville, and Dos Equis is bringing the party to you. Text the word GOLDEN to 615-737-1025. That's GOLDEN to 615-737-1025 to qualify for the ultimate in-home watch party. And did I mention one lucky fan is getting tickets to a playoff game at Bridgestone Arena? Get a dose, Smashville. You must be 21 or older to enter and win. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game will be on the road with your chance to win tickets to Games 3 and 4 for Round 1 of the Stanley Cup Playoffs between the Preds and the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena. Today, Stillman & Company will be broadcasting live at the new Party Foul location in Cool Springs from 2 to 6 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 4. And tomorrow, Stillman & Company will be broadcasting live at Social Furniture from 2 to 6 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 3 and a pair to Game 4 as well. So make sure you're aware of that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Game 2 tonight for the Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes. Joe Rex Road has made his lineup adjustments. I have made my lineup adjustments heading into this game for the Predators. Ryan Porth, as you look at this game for the Preds tonight, game two, one down 0-1 in the series, trying to tie things up heading back home, what are the lineup adjustments, the lineup changes that you're making tonight? Are you making any lineup changes tonight if you're John Hines and the Nashville Predators?
Very much so. I'm going back to the lineup that worked in that Saturday night game at home against Carolina, the exact same lineup, which was Tolvanen with Forsberg and Johansson. You keep the Granlund line together, Duchesne, Halla, Richardson on your third line, and then the Hurd line.
So you're sitting Arvidsson voluntarily?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't think that's totally out of the realm of possibility. I'd be pretty surprised, but I don't think that's totally out of the realm.
I didn't feel like he really added much of anything the other night. And that's, I mean, he could come in and be in the lineup tonight and score two goals, but I was not impressed with what I saw out of 33 the other night. And then on defense, I would put Benning with Harper on the third pair. As much as I'm not that big on Harper, I just don't know if you have another guy ready to go in there on the left side on the third pair. That's the issue.
We've had a couple people bring up David Ferentz. I get it. I just don't know if David Ferentz is ready for this yet.
Was Ben Harper?
I don't know. Didn't look like it the other night, that's for sure.
I would consider that as the series goes along. We've seen them throw in young defensemen before. I mean, Dante Fabro was thrown into the mix in the last few games of the regular season in 2019, and he did just fine that postseason.
Yeah. Yep. Like I need to ask John Hines this question, and it's on me that I haven't yet. Of those guys that we talk about that can play on the right with Benning and Gudbranson and Fabro, is there anybody that you feel good about playing on the left? Now, they've done it with Gudbranson. You know how I feel about Gudbranson. I don't think he needs to be in the lineup. But do you have any confidence whatsoever that Benning can slide over to the left, that Fabro could slide over to the left? It's hard. I mean, you're playing on your backhand, so especially in a team like Carolina – that's so good on the forecheck, you've got to be crisp with the way you move the puck. And if you're on your backhand on your offside, that can be very difficult to do. If you're not ready for it, that could be disastrous for the Predators, having somebody over on the left that can't handle it. I don't know. Like, could Fabbro do that? Could Matt Benning do that? Because if they can, I think your six best defensemen on this team are Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Carrier, Fabbro, and Benning. Those are the six best guys, in my opinion. The problem is, if you know, two of those guys can't play on the left side, you got a problem. You can't play them. And that's the problem I think you're running into right now if you're the Predators.
Well, how much of the game one lineup from a defense perspective do you think was on the size factor?
Because I think it was a big part of it.
You know, didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, too, if Hines still looks at it like, well, this size is still very important in a lot of situations. And then I also wonder just what's he feeling about Fabbro overall right now?
Yeah. Well, is it a situation where Fabbro, because he comes back and he plays one game. And you're like, okay, he plays the one game. He's out that Saturday night against Carolina. He's a healthy scratch. He comes back in and plays on Monday. And that was, you know, it's a different game. It doesn't mean much in the standings. It was a great story for Pecorine, but the lineup for both teams that night was way different than what we knew we were going to see in the playoffs. So is it a situation where Fabro's been hurt for so long that he's not fully healthy and he's not fully back up to speed yet, and that's why you're sitting him? Or is it just the way that he's played, you don't have confidence in Dante Fabbro right now? I'd be very interested to know the answer to that question.
Yeah, that'd be one of those that Jeff D. from The Athletic, if we could ask like four or five follow-ups with the hot light in Hines' face, we'd get the truth, you know?
Yes.
But Fabbro made a lot of mistakes.
He did.
Made a lot of mistakes this year that just have been, some of them have just been like, you can't have it. And I wonder if that's part of it.
I do too, but you cannot convince me, based on what I saw the other night, that Dante Fabbro is a worse option than a Ben Harper or an Eric Gudbranson. I'm sorry, you just can't. Like, you're not going to convince me that that's the case. So is it because Harper plays on the left, that's why he's in and that's it? Like, it's as simple as that? Or are you that down on Dante Fabbro? Because if we're at this point and you're that down on Dante Fabbro, that's a pretty big issue for this team as they move forward, because he's supposed to be a huge part of your core moving forward here. And if that's the way that you feel about Fabbro at the moment, that's not a good sign. Now, he's still young, and he's got plenty of time to turn this thing around. I still like a lot of the tools that he brings to the table. But that's not a very good sign to me if you're that down on Fabbro at this point in his career.
No, it's not. It's in a very different way, although really it's also someone you're tied to the future. Talk about 7 minutes of 5-on-5 for Matt Duchene in a playoff game.
Yep.
You know, you got five more years of Matt Duchene under contract, so what's going on there? We're gonna find out some things that in a playoff series that you don't necessarily find out in a regular season, because it's the absolute truth about what you feel about some of these guys.
Austin on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Philip Tomasino was brought up. He was brought up. He was called up yesterday from Chicago of the AHL. He is on the non-game squad at the moment, so he's probably not going to be playing tonight. Now, not saying maybe you don't see him at some point in the series. I would be surprised if his NHL debut comes in the playoffs.
If the Preds are down 3-0 going into game four and the forward group has just been abysmal, I'm keeping the door cracked.
Yeah.
But that's probably about it on Tomasino. It's don't read too much into that call-up.
Exactly. Now, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this when the offseason comes. I think there's a pretty good shot he's on this team next year. I think he's right on the verge of being ready. But I don't think that time is coming in this series against Carolina. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Kentucky texting in. The third pair has to be changed, right? The Canes' speed made them look like traffic cones in that game. John Hines alluded to that a little bit yesterday in terms of what some lineup changes could be that he's considering. And in his answer, he's talking about, you know, the top players need to play better. He can make some changes on the fringe of the lineup, and he did mention, you know, the fifth and sixth D, which is the third defense pairing. So, look, that's going to look different, I think, in some form or fashion tonight Are both Goodbranson and Harper going to be out? I don't know. We just kind of highlighted the problems that you face with that if you're the Predators. But I would expect at least one of those guys not to be in there tonight.
Yeah, and listen, there aren't a ton of teams in this tournament or around the league who relish their third pairing in important situations.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, and when you're on the road, and this is where I think, and you brought up the point right off the game. It's a very good point. You know, that when you're on the road, you really have to be careful about your third pairing, because they're going to get them in as many bad spots as they can get them with last change. But again, I mean, that's where, like, the balanced lineup you threw out there, to me, at least makes it so there's no obvious glaring, these are the guys you want on the ice.
Right.
Although some would say the way Ellis played in game one, he still would be considered that way. But look, for the most part, like, your third pairing is a third pairing for a reason. I don't think there's anything, and I agree with John Hines in general, that, like, the much bigger story here is the mainstays who would never be considered for being taken out of the lineup playing better and matching up with the best players on the Canes. That has to happen. He can tinker with this third pairing, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. When we come back, speaking of Ryan Ellis, how much confidence do we have in Yossi and Ellis to bounce back in this game? And what are your thoughts on Ryan Ellis and his performances in the playoffs? We'll get to all that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, it was a pretty bad game one by their standards from Roman Yossi and Ryan Ellis, and John Hines talked about that a little bit yesterday in terms of wasn't their best game, and they need to have a bounce-back performance coming up in game two. And we started talking earlier about the group, the main group that's going to be in the lineup every night, what that could look like and what needs to happen for them to compete in this series against Carolina. There were times it was rough on Monday night for Yossi and Ellis specifically. I think to that fourth goal that the Jordan Staal scored, he comes in on the forecheck. Ellis has got the puck behind the net, and he basically just runs Ellis into the wall off the puck, comes around. Yossi tries to clear the puck. He doesn't, and Staal scores, and it's 4-2. So Jordan Staal, basically a one-man wrecking crew. You think back to Staal's first goal of the game. He just splits the middle between Ekholm and Yossi. Yossi is not able to corral him, and he scores a goal on that play. Just mistakes made by Yossi and Ellis that we're not accustomed to seeing, especially in the regular season. And you brought up a conversation that Hal had talking about the approach by Carolina on the forecheck, and they're doubling Roman Yossi. They know how important he is to getting the puck out of the zone if you're the Predators. He's the best defenseman in the entire league in terms of exiting the zone, leading the rush through the neutral zone. Carolina is very aware of that, and it's pretty obvious that Roman Yossi is a target. They're trying to get to him very early and forced him to make a decision with the puck on his stick. What's the confidence level that you have that Yossi and Ellis bounce back in this game? And what do you think of the struggles that we've seen at times from Ryan Ellis in the playoffs? Obviously, a lot of people, they think back to 2019 in that series against Dallas. He was not good in that series against the Stars. He got pushed around. Now, we later found out that he was also hurt in that series as well. I didn't think he was bad last year against Arizona. I thought he was okay. I mean, I didn't think he was particularly good either, but not noticeably bad last year against Arizona. But it was not very good for Ryan Ellis in game one. What do you think of Ellis in the playoffs? Is there a concern level that his size or lack thereof is a pretty big problem for the Predators in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the playoffs, we talked all about the physicality element going into this series, and how that was Nashville's plan, and maybe Carolina doesn't love that, even though Carolina is still big, by the way. But, I mean, that's what the playoffs brings, right? It brings just more emphasis. People are finishing their checks. There's just, it's usually tighter. There's usually less space out there. And it seems like at times, you know, he's been victimized. Vingan has a story on Ellis and Yossi on The Athletic with I'm reading these fancy graphs in the story. I don't always understand these stats, but essentially, you know, it's an interesting, so he's got them together in the regular season, and they're, you know, basically what they've given up versus what's expected.
Yep.
And it's much better numbers in the regular season than in the postseason going back the last few years when they've been together in the postseason. They've given up more than expected, or they've given up maybe not quite more than expected, but, you know, like there's a bigger gap in the regular season. So, I mean, that kind of backs up the idea that it's a different game in the postseason. And think back to that run. We keep talking about that 17 run. I thought Ekholm and Subban and their physicality was right up front in terms of what spearheaded that whole run. You got Pekkarinen, and you got Johansson, how he played, and you got all these different forwards coming in and chipping in with these clutch moments, starting with Colton Sissons. But I thought that pairing was big, and I thought Yossi and Ellis in that run at times. I mean, in the Stanley Cup Final, they had some bad moments in that series.
Yep.
And I think it's as simple as physicality. I mean, I think they are very skilled, very good players, and they are not the most physical players.
They're not, and I do think Yossi is a little bit more equipped to play that way than Ellis is. Like I don't see Ellis as a player that thrives in that. Now, there's also another part of this that I think you got to keep in mind too when you're having this discussion, and this at times can be hard to do when you're watching the game. Yossi and Ellis are also out there more than anybody, so you're going to make some mistakes. Like there are going to be times where you just get beat, and when you're out there enough, that happens. Now, to their credit, and you brought up the numbers in the regular season, they've been pretty good in the regular season. Like last year, obviously Yossi got a lot of the attention last year. He won the Norris Trophy, and deservedly so. Ryan Ellis was pretty freaking good last year. Like when he was healthy, when he was in the lineup, Ryan Ellis was really good last year. So I'm not quite as down on Ellis as some people are. Like we've had people on the text line today say, he needs to sit. Like, Ellis doesn't need to be in the lineup anymore. That's way too extreme. Ryan Ellis is a good player. Is Ryan Ellis a player that is going to end up being worth the contract that he signed? And is he a player that thrives in the playoffs? Those two questions I think are fair. But to act like Ryan Ellis just doesn't need to be in the lineup, I think is a little bit ridiculous.
Well, and that it's a great point. Last year was a big bounce back year for him for sure. Because remember, going in, it was like, what's up with this guy? Is he ever going to get healthy again? And he really responded. It's also, like, when I say not physical, I mean, I'm really talking, I'm not saying, like, those guys, you know, shy away from hits.
Sure.
Or they're, like, they're not soft like Nashville media. You know, I'm saying that those guys, they just don't have the size and strength in some matchups to be able to impose themselves. It's also, when you think about Ellis, I still will never forget Game 6 of Stanley Cup Final, when we knew at that point that his knee was torn up, and he still got to some spots in that game, and you're just like, how is he even doing this?
Yeah.
And he was out there a lot. Like, you got to give a lot of...
Oh, he's tough as nails.
Yeah, like, toughness and all that, want to, it's not... That's not the issue. Actual physics is the issue.
Yeah. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, coming out of the Spitfires, which that is Ellis' junior team that he played for, the Windsor Spitfires, Ellis was a top prospect defenseman. His size was a concern, but his hockey IQ was his strong point. Ekholm wasn't as touted as Ellis, but he has size and strength. He learned and developed to build his hockey IQ. My point is, Ekholm had size and learned technique at the NHL level. Ellis has the IQ, but you can't learn size at the NHL level. Small, top-tier defensemen are generally pretty rare in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all fair. And at the same time, agree with you. There's no way he's out of the lineup. And look, I mean, Ellis is a guy who can drive your offense too. Ellis is a guy who has the skill and the feel to create things too. And that's, I mean, both of those guys, Yossi and Ellis, you need some of that in this series.
So what do we think the chances are that Yossi and Ellis get split up tonight? They're going to play. Both of them, obviously, are going to be in the lineup. What do we think the chances are that they get split up? John Hines talked about that possibility yesterday in his press conference. Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
You know, both guys didn't have their best night, you know, for different reasons. And we expect both those guys to have a strong response going into tomorrow's game. And yes, you know, we've talked a lot after the game, talked a lot of, you know, this morning, have gone through the video and looking at different things. So it is an option to split those guys up. But I think first and foremost, I think individually, you know, there is better there. I think we all know that they can play better and they're prideful guys. They're real important guys on our team. And I think a response from them is going to be important tomorrow in their individual games. And then if you wind up, you know, if we do make the decision to split them up, sometimes it could be a different look. It could be the matchups that we feel like, you know, who are they getting out against them? What were the issues that caused some of the problems? So I think it's really a combination of those things.
So John Hines talking about the potential of splitting up Yosi and Ellis there. We've seen them do that at times this year. Yosi's played with a variety of different people. Matt Benning he's played with Fabro at times as well. Ellis has come down, and most of the time when he's not been with Yosi, he has been with Matias Ekholm. What do we think the chances are tonight that pairing of Yosi and Ellis gets split up, and do you think that could be a good idea for John Hines and the Predators to try to do tonight?
I kind of do. I mean, I like your plan. I say that, you know, on the off chance John Hines isn't spending all morning listening to us, that maybe you should send it along to think about it, because I do like Ellis and Ekholm together. I think that that's a little bit more of a contrast, but two guys who know each other very well, have played together a ton, obviously. So going back, you had Yosi Weber, yep, and you had Ellis Ekholm, right?
Yep.
I mean, they, you know, so that's seamless. And then like a Benning up with Yosi, I mean, I think that could work out well. I think I would do it.
I think there's a chance we see that tonight. And I think a lot of it, too, is when you're on the road, it's the matchups. I mean, that's what the playoffs are about. It's about matchups. It's controlling the matchups. Sometimes, in some cases, surviving the matchups the best way that you can. Are you better off with Yosi and Ellis together doing that? Are you better off splitting them up and kind of spreading the love around on defense a little bit? I don't know. I think different people would have different answers to that question. But I do think there is at least going to be some consideration given to splitting those two up tonight. We'll have to see what the lineup looks like when warm-ups come around. When we come back, it's time for Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight against the Hurricanes. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight in Game 2 from Raleigh, North Carolina. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings getting a little bit interesting in Preds Pick to Click as well. Joe Rexrode and the listeners still tied at 7 correct answers this season. Ryan Porth has gotten on a bit of a hot streak as of late. He's up to 5 correct answers. So Ryan Porth, uh-oh, closing the gap a little bit, leaving me in the dust. I remain steadily in last place, 2 correct answers on the season. It's pretty hopeless for me at this point.
Coming for you, Joe.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, you know what? You threw a strike throwing out the first pitch of the Sounds game, Robbie.
I did.
So, you know what?
Athletic accomplishments. That's what we rest on.
Exactly. So this Porth really needs the Preds to advance.
Yeah.
To have any chance. Right. I mean, realistically.
Realistically. Now, he did call a shot yesterday that by the time Friday gets done, this thing's going to be tied up.
Yeah, I know, but blah, 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 okay? I mean, we've got a total of, like, how many right picks all year? I can
21.
Do the math.
Yeah,
I'm on a heater, Joe. I'm on a heater. I had Alex Tuck goal last night for Vegas.
He did.
And he scored twice.
That's there you go. Good.
What's the best streak we've had this year?
One game.
Like, maybe, did I have 2 in a row at any point? I don't even know if I did.
I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
I've done 2 in a row. The last game of the regular season and then game 1.
That's true. So he's on a two-game streak.
From 3 to 5?
Okay. Yeah, he's on a streak right now.
Bring it on.
There just happened to be a week in between the games, so I didn't think about it. So way to go,
Borth. That counts, though. Okay.
It counts. Right. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Andrew from Nashville. Andrew, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. Now, Andrew, there's a lot of pressure. It's tied 7-7 at the top between Rex Road and the listeners. Are you ready for this?
Yes. I was telling Ryan while I was on hold, I don't know if it's a good omen or not, but Jared walked by and I had to let him go on the crosswalk on his morning walk. So I don't know if that's good or bad.
So you just saw Stillman. That could be an omen. It could be either really good or really bad for Andrew.
Yeah.
Was he all sweaty? Was he like he's all pumped up and sweaty from his workout?
We'll go with that.
Okay, so Andrew, the Preds taking on the Canes tonight, game two. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Going to go with the captain, kind of going off what you guys talked about. I think Yost is going to have a better game, and he's going to have some space. Maybe Benning's on the top line, or top pair with him, and give him a little more room, and he's going to be motivated tonight, I believe.
I like it. So Andrew selecting the captain, Roman Josi, tonight in Preds pick to click. Andrew, good luck, man. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, y'all. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. Andrew selecting Roman Josi. He is off the board. Joe Rexroad, you have the first pick today among us three in the draft. Who is your pick to click today for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka?
I'm not liking this Porth momentum. Give me Philip Forsberg.
Oh, that was very quick. Philip Forsberg selected by Joe Rexroad.
I'll take number 9.
Going away, deviating from Jodavion Rexcroak here on the program.
That line has got to show me something before I go back to that well.
That's a fair point.
So this probably guarantees that they will tonight. But there you go, Preds fans.
I have the second pick, and I am going to take a huge risk. But why not? Because I'm basically out of this at this point anyway.
Good, Branson. Come on.
Give me Ellie Tolvanen. I think Tolvanen's going to be in there. I think he finds one to get home on the power play. Tolvanen on the board tonight. May not even be in the lineup. We'll see what happens on that. But I've got to take risks at this point to try to find my way back. I've scored with two people correctly this year, Philip Forsberg and Ellie Tolvanen. I'm going back to the well. Give me Tolvanen here in the competition.
That was my pick.
That's what you get. Ryan Porth bringing up the rear today in terms of the draft. Who is your pick to click for the Predators? Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka.
Bringing up the rear every day.
Pick someone else who might not be in the lineup. That's my challenge to you.
Yes.
Little Rocco.
Brad Richardson.
Little Cousins. Come on.
They could be in.
They could be. That's right. That's what I'm saying. Pick them.
You never know. I am going to go with 92.
Ryan Johansson.
I'm going with playoff Johansson tonight. And I'll
get in front of the net.
I'll pull Robbie because Robbie always likes to throw in how it's going to happen. Johansson gets on the power play.
Okay. From the middle of the ice on the power play, Ryan Johansson. So that is today's edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Andrew, our listener, selecting Roman Josi, the captain. Joe Rexroad going with number 9, Philip Forsberg. Robbie Stanley taking a bit of a risk, going with Ellie Tolvanen. Hopefully he's in the lineup. We'll see what happens on that front. And Ryan Poore selecting Ryan Johansson in today's edition of Preds Pick to Click.
Preds Pick to Click today, and taking a big leap and thinking that the Preds will actually set up a power play when they have a man advantage.
Yes, that would be
quite a jump from game 1 to game 2 if that
happens. A massive improvement from last time. Let's go to my personal text line. This coming from Jared Stillman. It's so hard being famous. Can I not just go on a walk in my own neighborhood? This coming after Andrew announcing that he saw Stillman on a walk.
That reminds me. How's the cameo life going for Stillman?
There's not been an update in a while. Jared, I guess we haven't checked.
Jared, let us know. What's up with Cameo? I mean, I've got some family birthdays coming up, so I'm considering you.
So do we think it's a good omen or a bad omen that Andrew saw Stillman on a walk in this competition? Like, this is I hope that Josi scores tonight, because if he does and Forsberg doesn't and you get taken down in this competition by Andrew who saw Stillman before the pick, it's going to be amazing.
For whatever reason, as soon as he told us that, I just had in my mind that scene from Pulp Fiction where, like, Bruce Willis sees Marcellus Wallace at the stop line and they go, and he's got, like, donuts in his hand. And, you know, I have no idea. But anyway, that just came into my mind. Porth, you get my reference? You've never seen the movie Pulp Fiction. My God.
Well, maybe
Stillman, have you seen Pulp Fiction?
We can bake some mac and cheese and you can watch Pulp Fiction.
I was mentioning during the break that we need to have a mac and cheese cook-off.
We do.
I think we do.
That Joe and I both make our own mac and cheese, and then Robbie says which one is better.
I like the sound of that.
By the way, Katie also brought into the discussion a family myth that is not true. I'm going to debunk it here, even though I'm now introducing it. There's this myth that when I was a kid, I tried to make toast, and I buttered it before I put it in the toaster. It's not true. But, like, that's being thrown in my face now.
Wow, you're under attack.
Joe, you don't butter your toast before you put it in the toaster.
Just stop it. Kathy, I missed her on Twitter here. Where the heck? Did she delete that tweet? No. At HockeyChick107 said, she actually splits the difference. So she puts the butter alone in the pot first, then the noodles, then the cheese and milk. That's splitting the difference.
Okay. There. All right. So different strategies. I mean, this has been an educational program today on the different ways to make mac and cheese. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian texting in. Eric Goodbranson with the first goal tonight on a triple deflection. That'd be something.
Oh, man. If Eric Goodbranson is on the ice to score, that alone, you should get a point for that.
Yes, I think so, too.
I think is he the most likely guy who was in the Game 1 lineup to not be in the Game 2 lineup?
I think so. That would be my guess.
Like, I feel like Harper.
I would say that Harper is the most likely guy based on the way that he played, but he also plays on the left. So, unless you feel great about that, if you're John Hines, yes, I would say Goodbranson. Nate on the text line says, even I have seen Pulp Fiction, and I was very sheltered as a child. By the way, Stillman chiming in, he has also not seen Pulp Fiction.
Oh, my God. What? Help me. You've seen it, right?
I feel like it's a pretty popular movie. Yes, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it like five times.
Come on.
I feel like it's pretty popular.
The horrifying thing about that is that movie is 27 years old.
I know.
Horrifying.
Yes. It's almost as old as me.
And you've seen it.
I know. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg texting in. So Greg also said earlier, switch around Tolvanen and Forsberg on the power play. So Greg's justification for that is this. When Tolvanen played for Jokerit, his natural side is on the right side. Even Hal or Chris pointed out that when they're talking about Tolvanen on the power play, every time I see Forsberg making awesome scoring shot, it comes from the left or on the slot. Plus, on the left side, Forsberg and Josi can rotate, giving some different shooting looks, change it up a little bit on the power play.
Listen, there's a lot of – we got different people scoring on the power play. We got different things that you can do. Start with setting up.
That'd be a good
See
start.
If you can enter the zone.
That'd be a good
That
start.
Would be a good improvement from game one.
This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick-to-Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Sunday night, you win a prize pack and a pair of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. The chance to participate coming up on Friday morning at 9:45. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Is Game 2 a must-win for this Predators team? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.